When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are born free,
and we will die free.
The time in between, though,
that's complicated.
In that time, governments, institutions, and our egos will limit our ability to find true freedom in this life. These are real stories of real people overcoming the odds, persevering in justice, and unlocking their potential. Welcome to Finding Freedom. Here's your host, John Oderman.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Finding Freedom right here on the Lions of Liberty Podcast Network. And today, bringing you a solo episode with a really important topic. And I think it's going to be a topic today that, you know, you might think at first, oh, this has no impact on my life. You know, this is something that it might be interesting, but it probably has impacted me personally or the lives of my loved ones. But once we get into it, I will almost guarantee that the topic for today, which is, generally speaking, government additives to food, fortified food, enriched grains with a specific synthetic vitamin. And we're going to dig into that, and I'll explain more in detail what I'm talking about, but it can lead to a lot of health issues, cardiovascular, mood disorders, things of that nature. It's shocking. And I'll get into why I wanted to talk about this when we get into the show. But first, before I do that, I do want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. This is the Monday after Thanksgiving when the show is being released. I'm recording on Sunday night here after a long holiday weekend where I got to go hunting, did a little deer hunting on Saturday and Sunday morning. Did not get a deer. Here in Pennsylvania, I guess 2 years ago, I think it was, they moved the opening day of deer rifle season from the Monday after Thanksgiving to the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which I like it and I hate it at the same time because it does dig into that family time, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend. And, you know, my brother and his kids and wife were in town. I got to spend some time with them, but unfortunately, had to get away to hunt. But I also like it a little bit because I don't have to take off any work on that Monday to go hunting for opening day. So I was able to go up to my buddy's cabin up north, and we had a good time. Saw deer. I didn't get a shot at one that I, felt comfortable taking. One of my other friends had a buck lined up in his sights and had his gun misfire. So, eventful weekend, but no deer meat. But there's still 2 weeks left, so plenty of time. And the best time to hunt is when you have time. So I'll make it out at least a few more times here in the next 2 weeks. So today's show, I'm not sure how long it's going to be. I really have no idea. It could be, 40 minutes, could be 20 minutes. I don't know how long I'm going to talk about this. And it is detailed information. I've done a fair amount of research here, which I already knew a lot about it, but I wanted to get some specifics, and I'll have links to everything I talk about today on the show notes page. So first, we're going to talk about folic acid and folate and the difference between the two and, why the government has been adding this to grains, to flour, to cereal, to fortify, grains, to enrich flour, as they say. They've been doing this. It's been mandated since 1998 for all grains that are not organic. So why are they doing this, and what are the potential negative ramifications of it? So we'll get into those details. And I also want to talk about at the end I want to get into talking a little bit about happiness and, you know, have some charts to show on where happiness overall is trending, and also how different generations view happiness with regards to wealth and net worth. I think some interesting takeaways there. So, you know, we'll see how long the show is. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty tired. Did not get a lot of sleep this weekend hunting. You know, you have to get up at five in the morning, getting up. Well, I guess Saturday we got up at, I don't know why we did. We got up at like 5:15, but we didn't actually leave the house until, you know, close to 6:15. So we could have slept a little more. And then we slept in a little bit on Sunday to like 5:40, and they got out there before first light. But, you know, it's good to get out there before first light. You can get set up and everything, but it's also extremely frustrating because probably the largest deer, I'm just assuming, that was within shooting distance of my stand, of where I was set up, it came by and I could hear it. You know, and I could see just the outlines of the figure, and it was loud. It was stomping at me. It probably was a big buck, but it was so freaking dark, I could not see a thing. It was like 20 yards away, and I'm straining my eyes trying to see, and there's nothing more frustrating than that. Well, actually, the only thing more frustrating than that is after you leave your hunting camp when you're driving home, and then you see about 20 deer as you're driving down the road. That is also equally frustrating. But so today we're talking about folic acid and folate. What's the difference? And, you know, I made a post about this on Facebook a week or so ago, and somebody commented on it with a strong opinion, as you know, people love to do on social media, saying basically, you know, I called out some of the problems with folic acid and some health issues that, you know, people who are unable to use it, really, it's not a bioavailable form. They're not able to methylate it. You know, some of the health issues it can lead to. And someone called me out and said, "What are you talking about? Folate's in all kinds of stuff. It's naturally occurring, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Hey, man, read the post. I'm talking about folic acid." So, what is folic acid? Folic acid is a synthetic form of folate. Both folate and folic acid are vitamin B9. It's an essential nutrient that is naturally, or the folate is naturally occurring. The folic acid is, of course, you know, lab created, synthetically created. I'm not going to get into the details of what that means and how they do that, because honestly, that's well above my knowledge level, and I'm not going to try to explain it. You know, you can do your own research into that. I'm going to provide plenty of links on the show notes page at lionsofliberty.com, and I will caveat everything I'm going to say here today, which I'm not a scientist, not a doctor. This is not medical advice, and that's why you should trust me. But seriously, do your own research. I will link to everything. There is a ton of information out there on folic acid, folate, on the MTHFR gene mutation, which I'll be talking about in a little bit, on the different health issues that can be caused by vitamin B9 deficiencies. So much information out there on the internet. All you do is type in your questions, and it gives you information, and you search through the articles. I recommend, sure, use Google, but also use something like Presearch or a different search engine that's not going to filter out, you know, useful information. If you just go with Google, a lot of the stuff you're going to get is CDC and you know, other government websites feeding you their propaganda. So you got to get creative with search terms as well to get around that. So what got me interested in talking about this? Well, I've known about the issue. Excuse me, the issues with certain people being unable to methylate folic acid into the usable form of folate, methylfolate. There's a longer term for it, which I'll say later, but methylfolate, essentially, we'll just go with that for now. There's a large group of people who are unable to do that. We're unable to methylate folate into that bioavailable form where our bodies are able to use it, unable to metabolize it. So I've known that for a while, and you know, the vitamins, the multivitamins I take, the supplements I take, all have that bioavailable form of folate. Do I know if I have the gene mutation or not? I have not yet been tested. I'll talk about some specifics around the gene mutation and exactly what it is in a little bit. But it's one of those things that you can't go wrong just by taking the bioavailable form of the vitamin. Why even take the risk? So what got me even more so interested in this was a recent episode of Joe Rogan where he brought on Gary Brecka. Gary Brecka is I don't know really what to call him. He's not a doctor. He has a background in the insurance industry. So looking at health data, what's killing people, what's causing people to get sick, diving into different gene mutations, things like that, and through that background, developed this knowledge base on how to treat people, not with medications, but by identifying, different really gene mutations or are different issues that could cause the body to lack necessary raw materials. And rather than treating the symptoms and hacking at the branches, treating the root of the problem and giving the body the proper raw materials in order to heal itself. So it's a great episode. I encourage everyone to listen to the whole thing, but the really cool part is when he was talking about folic acid and when the government started mandating that grains are sprayed with folic acid. This was back in 1998 when they did that. So when he talked about that, I was like, this is crazy. I need to do a deeper dive into this. And I was just thinking about it so much that I wanted to really shine a light on it. And like I said, I'm not a scientist, not a doctor, but who cares, man? Anybody can talk about this stuff. This is 2023. The information is out there. Don't trust me. Go do the research yourself. So there's different, if you have a B9 deficiency, so if you are not getting enough folate, it can lead to elevated homocysteine levels. So high homocysteine levels are associated with really increased blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, stroke, things like that. Also, B9 deficiencies can lead to birth defects. So low folate in pregnant women has been linked to birth abnormalities, such as neural tube defects. And the neural tube defects are actually what the FDA used to justify spraying all of our grains with folic acid. Also, deficiencies in B9 have been shown to be correlated with cancer risk, higher probabilities for cancer. So poor levels of folate linked to increased cancer risk, and through higher levels of folate have also been linked with a higher risk of prostate cancer. they're saying higher levels of folate have been linked to higher risk of prostate cancer, which is sort of interesting, which might, I would guess, and I have not looked into that specific fact there, or that specific claim, I should say, I would guess that might have something to do with folic acid and not folate. So I will table that one to do some more research on. But so what is the difference between folate and folic acid? Like I said, folate is naturally occurring. It's derived from the Latin term folium, which actually means leaf. And, the best source, or one of the best sources of naturally occurring folate is in green leafy vegetables. The active form of vitamin B9 is 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. Say that 5 times fast. Also known as 5-MTHF. Now, folic acid, like I said, is synthetic. It's in supplements, it's added to food products, enriched flour, fortified cereals, etc., etc. Pastas, grains, breads, everything. You go through the grocery store, you look at anything that has a grain in it that's not organic, it's going to be enriched. And, you know, we'll get into talking about, you know, some of my thoughts around when we talk about some of these health issues, what I think could be happening here with so many people consuming tremendously high levels of these enriched and fortified products that have been laced with folic acid. So folate, when you consume folate from vegetables and in the naturally occurring form, or in supplements in the naturally occurring form, it's naturally naturally converted into the active form of B9, 5-MTHF. This is metabolized through your digestive system. However, folic acid, the problem is not for a lot of people who have a specific gene mutation, a lot of it is not actually metabolized. And that unmetabolized folate builds up in the bloodstream, which can lead to a lot of issues. And I have a clip here I'm going to play from Gary Brecka. This is not from the Joe Rogan podcast, and I can't think of the guy's name. I follow him on Instagram, and it's not his clip. It's somebody else taking the clip that put it up. But anyway, it's a good clip. This is Gary Brecka talking about really the potential detrimental really issues caused by lacing an entire food supply with folic acid.
Prevalent nutrient in the human diet. I think it was 1993, the U.S. federal government agreed to spray our entire grain supply with folic acid. Grains of all kinds are fortified or enriched, which means they're sprayed with the chemical folic acid. And I say chemical because folic acid doesn't occur anywhere naturally in nature. You cannot find folic acid anywhere on the surface.
Why do they do it?
It was initially because they thought it would prevent neural tube defect. But the truth is, folic acid doesn't prevent anything. In fact, pregnant women that take high doses of folic acid and have this gene mutation have very high incidences of postpartum depression. Because what happens to a female that cannot process folic acid when you put 1,400% of the daily allowance of folic acid into her body? She goes nuts. She develops this depressive state. And then eventually the pregnancy ends. They stop taking the prenatal vitamin. The symptoms go away. So they blame it on the pregnancy, not on the vitamin. Would we ever think that something that we make chemically in a laboratory is essential for optimal?
Yeah, so there it is. I mean, that kind of breaks it down in a nutshell. And what I was talking about at the top of the show, you know, who knows people who've been personally affected by this? I mean, how many people know someone a woman, you know, a mother who suffered with postpartum depression? My wife did. In fact, this was before we knew anything about potential issues with folic acid, and before we were taking a methylated bioavailable form of folate in supplements. My wife really hugely suffered with postpartum depression, and she shared her story quite a bit. But yeah, it's crazy, you know, when you start to break it down and you start to think about it. So I want to talk a little bit more about this MTHFR gene mutation. So MTHFR stands for methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. Say that 5 times fast. I'm not even sure if I said that right. And, you know, essentially, MTHFR is the name of both a gene and an enzyme in the body. The enzyme is methylene tetrahydrofolate. I feel like that was the same exact word I just said. There was maybe a little bit difference. the gene tells the body how to make the enzyme. So this enzyme is important to process folate, like I said, or to process folic acid. Some people can process folic acid properly, fine. So in the simplest terms, it turns folate into this bioavailable form of methylfolate through this process, which is called methylation. The methylfolate then converts amino acids into a variety of the body's functions, including the manufacture of serotonin and dopamine. So you can see how this can lead to mood disorders, lead to depression, lead to ADHD, lead to autism, different things like that. The MTHFR, also known as the MFR gene, inhibits the way the body processes folic acid. There's two variants. Actually, I think there's more, you know, sub variants and different combinations of the variants, but I'm not going to get into the details about what the variants are. It'll be included in the links that I provide on the show notes page. It's just way too confusing to talk about. The important takeaways are, you know, I've seen it cited anywhere from 30 to 60% of people have some form of this gene mutation that leads to the inability of the body to process this synthetic folic acid. So to different degrees, some people might have it more severely than others, and some people might have absolutely no, you know, issues with this gene mutation. So there's still a lot to learn about the MTHFR gene mutation. There is, you know, there's a lot of research being done. We'll talk a little bit later about the CDC, which like denies this even exists, which is freaking crazy. But yeah, so like I said, so with the MTHFR gene mutation, if that gene is mutated, then it cannot produce the enzyme correctly. So the process is disrupted. The dopamine and serotonin are not produced. And, you know, this can lead to lots of different issues. It's kind of interesting if you look at occurrences of autism on a chart. And all of a sudden in the late 90s, early 2000s, spikes way up. What else happened in the late 90s or early 2000s? Well, in the late 90s, 1998, that's when the FDA mandated that all of these grains, cereals, breads, pastas are going to be sprayed, enriched, fortified with folic acid. Interesting. Makes you think, doesn't it? So MTHFR also aids in the process of detoxification in the body. So when this is not working properly, when this process isn't working, heavy metals and mineral levels can reach dangerous levels of imbalance. This can cause hyperactivity, mood disorders, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if not treated, MTHFR mutations can cause a buildup of folic acid and make these, you know, mood issues even worse. So if you have someone who does have this mutation and they're suffering from ADHD, autism, depression, whatever, and say they're eating, you know, Pop-Tarts for breakfast, they're eating, you know, some white bread for lunch, they're having pasta for dinner, that's just going to make the situation worse. And what happens then? So their ADHD gets worse. And, we better increase the medication. We better make the dose higher. And, you know, I think what happens is a lot of people, it's interesting when you look at like the carnivore diet, you know, people who support the carnivore diet, people who just like any sort of elimination diet that centers around eliminating breads, you know, carbs, essentially grains, whatever. All of a sudden people just feel like so much better. It's like, wow, what happened? You know, it must be just that it's a carbohydrate and I don't need carbohydrates. Or it could be that the carbohydrates in the United States of America have vastly been contaminated, have been sprayed with folic acid, and maybe you have this gene mutation where your body is not able to process it. That could be exactly what's happening. And if you went to maybe a country in Europe that is not doing this, that is not spraying their grains with folic acid, then maybe you'll be fine. And maybe you'll be able to eat this stuff. Maybe it wouldn't affect your mood. And maybe it wouldn't affect your cardiovascular health. And maybe it wouldn't increase your risk for cancer. Just some food for thought. These are not claims that I'm making. These are just ideas that I want you to research on your own. Okay. Things that I'm thinking about that you should be thinking about as well. Just trying to get the old wheels turning in the old freedom brain there for the Finding Freedom audience. So, I mean, this is really crazy stuff, right? So, I would guess that if I polled the audience before this show, probably 90%, maybe 95% of the audience thought that folic acid and folate were the same thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally underestimating my audience. Definitely in the, my audience is more educated than the general public, but definitely in the general public, it'd be 95%. Maybe my audience would be 75 or 50%. I don't know. But general public, 95% of people would think that they're the exact same thing. And the reason why they spray the grains with full, well, this is what I'm, this is what they say. They say the reason why they're spraying the grains with the folic acid and not the folate is because the folic acid is stable. And if you sprayed the grains and added or added it in some other way to grains, to cereals, to breads, whatever, if you added folate, it would break down and it wouldn't last in the food. So, so why is folic acid added to grains? And I talked about at the beginning, you know, there's the reason that they claim is, so in 1992, the U.S. Public Health Service recommended that all women who can become pregnant get 400 micrograms of folic acid, this synthetic vitamin B9, to prevent neural tube defects. Then in 1998, the United States began a public health intervention. We all know about foreign interventions. How about domestic interventions into your body? Yeah, the government loves to do that, which required manufacturers to fortify cereal grain products labeled as enriched with 140 micrograms of folic acid per 100 grams of flour. And so they claim when they did this that the number of neural tube defects went down essentially right after implementation. So what's their justification on why they are mandating it being added, you know, to flour, to put right into the food for everybody to consume when it's only targeting pregnant women? Why would they do that? Well, the reason they give us, let me get a quick drink here. The reason they give is because, and this very well probably is true. I don't really doubt that folic acid or so, excuse me. I don't doubt that folate could be very important and is very important in the development of a fetus and even important to conception. I don't doubt that at all. The problem is they're not adding folate, they're adding folic acid. And the reason why they're adding it to the food is because if they just said, hey, pregnant women need to supplement with this. Well, one side of it is they're saying not enough women are listening and taking the folic acid. And the other reason is that in order, in the research they've done around this, in order for it to help decrease these neural tube defects, it has to be taken, you know, started up to 14 weeks prior to conception and needs to maintain being taken 10 weeks after conception. So this 24-week period, which is pre- and post-conception, which is known as the periconceptual phase of pregnancy. Now, you learned your new term today, and so did I. And they, you know, they think through supplementation that women just will not do this. You know, a lot of women, though, you know, do, you know, as they are trying to get pregnant, you know, they start taking these prenatal vitamins ahead of time, most women do. But of course, there's a lot of women out there who they're not planning to get pregnant and they just get pregnant. And then, you know, so they say that for that reason, you know, those women who are just getting pregnant without planning and taking vitamins, for that reason, everybody in the United States needs to be dosed with folic acid. So that's crazy in my mind. That's absolutely insane. Absolutely bonkers. I mean, first of all, just from like a liberty standpoint, let people make their own decisions. You know, we don't need the government dictating what supplements we should take, what drugs we should take, what should be put in our food, what shouldn't be put in our food. Let's let people make those decisions for themselves. And, you know, this is a great example of, you know, the government saying, you know, that they're doing something benevolent, that they're adding this nutrient, this vitamin to the food, which is going to have an end result that is positive. It's going to give us a positive result. We're going to have less kids that have a birth defect. So the selling point of it, yeah, it sounds great. What kind of jerk would be against that? What kind of jerk is pro-birth defect? Nobody. Nobody's pro-birth defect. So that's the way they sold it. And, I mean, probably most people, maybe at the time, did people notice it? Probably not. I mean, oh, enriched. Enriched sounds good. Fortified. That sounds great. It's been fortified. It's been made stronger. But at the time, people probably didn't know. Today, freaking nobody knows. You know, like I said before, probably 95% of people have no idea what enriched means or fortified means and what the heck is mandated to be in their sandwich bread. But so another claim that they make is they say, you know, using data from the birth defect tracking system, that they found since the beginning of the folic acid fortification in the U.S., about 1,300 babies are born each year without a neural tube defect who might have otherwise had a neural tube defect. And, you know, with a lot of government data, the way that they are calculating that is just with an algorithm. Like, for example, when they do when they count flu deaths, they're not actually counting flu deaths. They are entering different data points, samples from hospitals around the country of, you know, number of people admitted with flu symptoms, number of people, length of stay in hospital, flu symptoms, number of people who died at certain hospitals from the flu as a comorbid. Then they plug all this stuff in from, you know, these different data points, and they get an output. In 2023, 10,000 people died from the flu. They didn't actually like count birth certificates like they claim to have done for COVID, or they just added COVID to every death certificate during that time of people who died, because people were getting it. That was the number one place to get COVID was in the hospital, no matter what you were in there for. But anyway, that's a different discussion. So like for the flu, they don't actually count. A lot of people don't know that. So for something like this, they're not actually, that's not like an actual count. That's just a calculation they made. It's an estimate. It's, you know, something that would have like a plus or minus on it, a confidence level, which they don't give that. They just give whatever percentile this 1,300 babies per year is, which who knows if it's the 50th percentile or the 90th percentile or, you know, all the assumptions that are built into their mathematical model. But anyway, that's probably getting too into the weeds on that. The greater point is, so they're claiming they're saving 1,300 babies from having a birth defect. Sounds amazing. Sounds great. Who would argue with that? How many, like, what's the damage, though? Right? You know, how many people have ADHD? How many people have autism? How many people are depression? How many mothers are suffering or you know, go to there's the extreme case where, you know, end up ending their life due to a terrible case of postpartum depression, which happens way too frequently, man, and way more often than people know. And like, it just makes me so angry because nobody knows about this. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. And you know, the first question people are going to have is, what should I do? And, you know, I think the simplest thing to do is just start to supplement with a methylfolate. And I can recommend, if anybody out there, if you want to know the multivitamin that I take and I love and I recommend, you can always email me, john@lionsofliberty.com. You can message me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, @JohnOdermatt, whatever. If you want to know supplements I take, happy to share that with you. You can also just do your own research and look around for a methylated folate, a multivitamin with a methylated folate. Make sure, you know, the other ingredients are good too. You know, you don't want to have sugars added. You don't want sucralose added to your multivitamin. You don't want any of that crap in there. You don't want other synthetic vitamins mixed in with it. So So just make sure you're avoiding synthetic vitamins as a whole. Get naturally occurring vitamins in your multivitamin. So that's one thing. Everyone should be supplementing. And the people who say, I don't need a supplement, you know, I get everything I need from food. I like your attitude. You know, honestly, I love where you're coming from. That means you're probably eating a lot of whole foods, which is like that. That's very important. You should always maximize the amount of whole food you're eating and minimize the amount of processed food you're eating. So I'm happy with them. That's great. Glad you're doing that. But there's something that's going on that's totally out of your control that is going to affect your ability to get the nutrients and the vitamins and everything you need by just eating the whole foods. Nutrient depletion, soil depletion, which has been, you know, happened over the past 50 years with factory farming, where, you know, an apple today, an orange today, a kiwi today, a cucumber today, whatever that you're buying in the grocery store from a, you know, factory farm in Mexico, just simply doesn't have the nutrients that fruit or vegetable had 20, 50, 75 years ago. It's just not in it because those nutrients have been stripped out of the soil and they're not being replaced with the way that that we factory farm today. And that's just the reality of it, man. I mean, you can sort of grow some of your own food, which I do that too, but you know, I don't have a huge operation where I can grow enough food for my family year round that's going to support us. So I supplement to fill the gaps, and I think everyone should. I think if you're not doing it, you're really doing yourself and your family a disservice. So that's one thing, supplement. The second thing is avoid enriched grains, avoid enriched flour, avoid fortified cereals, don't eat Pop-Tarts, don't eat processed foods. Just avoid that crap. Learn how to make sourdough. My wife, you know, she's amazing. She makes a new loaf of sourdough bread pretty much every single week. And she's been doing that for, I don't know, the past year and a half, which is amazing. It's incredible. The only time I've had bread that is not sourdough or is not made from a, you know, sourdough discard, or even like the pancakes we make, we use, you know, non-enriched flour. We use sourdough discard. So even when you're having carbs, you're not getting junk. I mean, I eat carbs. I mean, carbs are delicious. I'm going to eat pasta. I'm going to eat stuff like that. I'm going to eat sourdough bread. I'm going to have pancakes. I'm going to have French toast. You got to live. You got to enjoy life, man. There's ways to do that by avoiding things like folic acid. That have been added to our food, mandated by the FDA. So, yeah, just do the best you can with that. And of course, like the only times that, like I was going to say, when I went on a rant there, the only times that I do have stuff with like enriched flour is if I'm, you know, whatever, out to dinner or I'm tailgating with friends or I'm at a party. I'm not going to be a lunatic and bring my own bread with me. So, I mean, I'll have it then. But it's crazy. Even like, so last weekend, my mother-in-law had a birthday party for my father-in-law, and it was like the food was great, exceptional, fantastic. There was like sourdough pizza there, which was great. I had a lot of that, but there was also, you know, regular homemade pizza, and there was pasta, and you know, a bunch of different carbs, and it was all delicious, wonderful. Normally, I don't eat that many carbs, but that day, man, I indulged, I ate, I enjoyed it, had a great time. It was an awesome party. But I'll tell you what, man, the next day, my freaking wrist hurt, my shoulder hurt, my hip hurt, and my knee hurt. And is that caused by, because another potential issue caused by having one of these gene mutations, or the inability to process folic acid, is arthritis. That's another one. So there's a long list. I mean, I'll, like I said, I'll link to it. Lionsofliberty.com. I'll link to it there. You can read for yourself. But yeah, I mean, it's wild when you start to like really connect the dots with like the things you're consuming and how you feel. It's like, wow, oh, this makes sense. It makes sense that like what I eat would like cause me to feel a certain way. Like when you eat healthy, when you're eating, you know, good, you know, clean steak or venison or whatever, you're having vegetables, you're going to feel better. When you're having shitty processed food and carbohydrates laced with folic acid, you're going to feel like shit. I mean, that's just the way that's the way it works. And again, after Thanksgiving, indulged, eating, drinking, enjoying time with family, having fun, loving every minute of it. Next day, felt terrible. Just today, I'm starting to feel back to normal. But that's just some stuff to think about. So supplement, avoid some of the stuff. And the third thing, which you don't have to do this, but like I would encourage it, especially if you do have, like if you've been diagnosed with ADHD or autism or depression or anything like this, if you struggle with any of it, I would really encourage you to actually pay and get a gene test to see if you have this gene mutation or to what degree you have it. And, you know, some doctors might test for it and say, oh, but you have the gene mutation, but it's fine. You can still have that stuff. But there are other doctors out there that are starting to, you know, get into this field that are, you know, showing ways to navigate these issues and who understand that these gene mutations are causing a lot of these issues. So I think the gene test, the one that I saw, it's actually Gary Brecka's company. And if I remember, I will link to that one in the show notes page as well. That was like $600. If you have a HSA, your HSA, you should be able to pay for it with that. I think my wife and I will probably do it because you only have to do it one time. Your genes aren't going to change. You have the same genes. So you do it one time and then you're going to know. So that's kind of like the most intense thing to do, right? So if I was going to put this on levels, like probably the easiest thing to do is your diet. And then the next level up would be supplementation. And then the next level up would be doing the gene test. Then once you do the gene test, you could really refine the other two, right? You can refine the supplementing to get more specific on getting the right raw materials in order to treat you know, any issues identified from the gene test. And you can also refine your diet as well to avoid, you know, really avoid the foods that are triggers. So yeah, I would encourage people to, be active, man. That's a big part of finding freedom in your own life is taking control of your health, taking control of what you're eating, what you're drinking, and understanding at the end of the day, what you eat, what you drink, what you consume is going to dictate how you feel. And it's all, I mean, the responsibility falls on us, right? Sure, the government made this decision to put this crap in our food, to put a synthetic vitamin in everyone's food in order to address a problem that impacts a very small percentage. Well, not very small. It affects a percentage of the community. And honestly, if it didn't have a negative side effect, I probably wouldn't be making this episode just because it wouldn't be a headline. It wouldn't be something that would you know, be worth talking about. But the government shouldn't be doing this anyway. Even if there were no negative side effects, they shouldn't be, you know, mandating certain things to be added to food for everyone to consume. That's just ridiculous. Hopefully you agree with that. If you don't, I don't know. I don't know how you listened this long, or I don't know how you found this show. But all right. So the other thing that I did want to talk about, and oh, one more thing. So with the CDC, these people at the CDC, man. So just to remind you, the CDC, the same people who are telling you, go out and get your COVID booster. Go get your seventh COVID booster. That's what we recommend. Oh, hey, healthy 20-year-old on the street. You should get a COVID booster. That's what you should get. That's their advice. That's their recommendation. Those same people at the CDC say this about folic acid. Folic acid is the only type of folate shown to help prevent neural tube defects. Okay, so they go into details talking about that. What else do they say? They say people with this gene mutation, the MTHFR C677T, with that gene mutation variant, They say they can process all types of folate, including folic acid. So they are countering what all this research, excuse me, is saying, that in fact, up to 60% of people to some degree cannot process folic acid. The CDE just comes out and says, no, you're wrong. This is totally fine. But is that a surprise? Of course it's not a surprise, because they have to back up the mandate that the FDA made in 1998. This stuff gets me so freaking animated, man, because there's going to be people who, you know, if you talk to a friend about this or family and you tell them, you know, MTHFR gene mutation, you know, maybe this could be causing your mood disorder, blah, 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 or maybe a child struggling with autism, you're trying to help somebody to, you know, treat their child's autism, and you're giving them advice, maybe you refer them to this episode. And they go to the CDC page and say, well, the CDC says this is all bullshit. And then, I mean, the CDC, they're not wrong, right? They're the Center for Disease Control. They're the experts. We got to trust the experts. But the experts' incentives are aligned with falling in line with decisions they've made in the past in order not to invalidate those decisions and expose them for being causing all these health issues. So, of course, the CDC is saying this. Of course, the CDC is going to fall in line and say that the MTHFR gene mutations have no impact on methylating folic acid and the folate. So that shouldn't be surprising. Shouldn't be surprising at all, but that's where we are. And what did I say at the top of the show? I said maybe this will be like a 20-minute, 30-minute show. We're at 46 minutes, and we're still going. So I am going to talk about one more thing as I steer off of folic acid. And, you know, I subscribed to an email that I get, I think it's weekly. It's called Charter, C-H-A-R-T-R, which they just have some really cool charts. I know, surprising, right? With a name like Charter, you know, with different data and analytics, different trends, which I think is pretty interesting. And I saw this one that came through within the past couple days here, and tracking feelings of happiness across different generations. And if you're watching the video on YouTube or Rumble, you're going to see my screen with the charts there, but I'll talk through each one for those who are listening on the podcast. So you have 18 to 24, and each of these charts track from 2000 to 2021 or maybe 22. Oh, it's 2000, 2022. And so 18 to 34, you know, it's tracking in 2000 at 30%. It goes down a little bit in 2010, maybe it's at 25, then it goes back up to above 30% in 2012, then comes down in 2016, maybe it's at 25% again. And then COVID happens, swoop, all the way down below, it's down like 15%. And now today, 18 to 34 is back up to 23%, not to pre-COVID levels, but a pretty good rebound, you know. About a quarter of 18 to 34 year olds are feeling pretty good. They're feeling pretty happy right now, which is honestly pretty sad that three quarters are not feeling happy. It really tells you a lot about the state of the human race with these things. 35 to 49, they're pretty steady. Right above 30, a little bit below 30 from 2000 up to 2015. Dips down a little bit, 2016, 2017, you're back up above 30. Then bam, COVID hits, you're down to like 20. And now 35 to 49 year old category is back up to 31% after COVID. Pretty good rebound. And I'll talk about why I think that is after I get through these next two, because the next two are pretty interesting. So 50 to 64, the highest. You go back to 2000, they're almost 40%. Starts dropping. You get to 2010, it's down like 25%. Then it builds back up. 2019, it's about 30%. COVID happens, bam, down to 19%. A little bit after COVID, 2022, still at 19%. So no rebound. 50 to 64, no rebound. I'll talk about why I think that is. 65 plus, they're way up. Generally, the older people get, I think to a certain extent, until like maybe into their 80s, if they live that long, 65 to 80, people are pretty happy. You know, they're retired. They have less to worry about financially. You know, a lot of people are set up pretty well. So 40% happy in 2000. Dips down, comes back up, 2010, it's down around 30. And then when you get to pre-COVID, it's at like 35. Whoop, COVID happens, dips down to 22. Post-COVID, back up to 27. So a little bit of a rebound for 65 plus. But so my thoughts behind this. So just like generally, why? So the best COVID rebound was in the 35 to 49 category. And the reason I think that is this is the category where the most amount of people are going to be, they have kids. So people might say, well, they have kids. That's another stressor. Well, for those of you out there who have kids, kids actually bring a great deal of happiness to your life, especially little kids. And even when they get older and you know, start growing up, sure, teenagers give you stress. You know, they'll make you, you know, bang your head off a wall. But you're still, you're going through something with them, right? And when you have kids, you have an investment that's outside of yourself, a human investment that you are responsible with turning into an adult that is able to navigate this crazy world that we have. And it's pretty much mandatory if you're a good parent that you got to be optimistic about the future because your kid is growing up in this future. So if you're optimistic about the future, if you're doing your best to look at, you know, even as the world falls apart, you're looking at the silver linings, you're finding ways to, you know, figure out how things will be okay. And that's going to lead to happiness, man. It is. So having kids leads to happiness. People who are 50 to 64, a lot of them are empty nesters. Their kids have left and, you know, they've reached a point in their life where they have less control. You know, they can't really help their kids too much anymore. Maybe their kids have kids. They become grandparents. And that does bring some happiness, right? But still, they don't have any control. I mean, they're fearful, right? They're fearful of the world that that their grandkids are going to grow up in. And they don't have that same, it's hard to even explain, but they don't have that same investment because they're removed a generation. This is my theory. This is me talking. And then 65 plus, I think this has a lot to do with just the technological change that's happened. And I think a lot of people 65 plus are starting to get like kind of removed from the rest of society. And I don't think that's a good thing. You know, with social media and you know, the way news is aggregated, and they're just kind of behind on everything. And, you know, people make fun of the boomers, the boomer mentality, but I think it's a real problem. And I think it's definitely contributing to a negative happiness factor. And then to go back to the first one, to 18 to 34. So they had a pretty good rebound up to 23%, almost back to pre-COVID levels. But a lot of 18 to 34, majority of that, they're not going to, you know, not having kids yet. Some of them are probably starting to have kids. So maybe that is some of the optimism of having young kids. But in general, you know, this is why the elites don't want people to have families. This is why the elites don't want people having kids. Because it gives us a meaning. It gives us happiness. It gives the human race a reason to press on. And, you know, by teaching kids to question their gender and, you know, teaching them to, you know, abort their babies and not to value human life and all these different things, it creates this separation, and it devalues the positive impact of having children, and really, I think, leads to a lot of unhappiness in life. So that's my thought on that chart. So another chart that was interesting in this email I got. So 59% of Americans say money can buy happiness, but how much is enough? I thought this was kind of interesting. And I'll give my thoughts on what I think about money buying happiness after I go through the chart. But so Gen Z says $500,000 can buy happiness. That's being optimistic, Gen Z. Boomers, they say a million can buy happiness. The average of all the generations is 1.2 million. Gen X is essentially 1.2 million. And millennials, 1.7 million to buy happiness. Significantly higher than everything else, which is interesting. Gen Z, I don't know. They just don't know. And they're at a point where they've been really handed the shit end of the stick with the housing market. They can't get into it. They missed out on the boat on making easy money in real estate through Federal Reserve interest rate manipulation and housing supply manipulation. And so they're looking at probably a less. So when they're looking at happiness, their happiness looks different. Maybe it's a smaller house. Maybe it's not even buying a house. Maybe it's they're structuring their lives different. I think it's really striking when you think about this. Now, I don't know how accurate this is. So this was a recent survey from Empower. I don't know who they are, but it doesn't say. I didn't look at the survey to see how many people were surveyed. Is this worth going into? Did they say? I don't know. I don't want to waste my time looking through that. But anyway, so the 1.7 for millennials, you know, I think millennials are in a place where we understand, being at the time that we've, you know, come of age, that we understand that we've been handed the shit end of the stick. But also, we were able to get, a lot of us were able to get it, especially older millennials, were able to get into the housing market. And, you know, we're getting to a prime money making ages. And we understand how to make money on social media, how to build businesses on the internet, find success that way. So we kind of have our foot in both doors. And maybe we're getting a little greedy with the 1.7 million net worth to buy happiness. But it is interesting how much higher it is than the average. And it's interesting how much higher it is than Gen X. And I think that difference is Gen X more so doesn't have their foot in the internet money door, in the social media door, in that world, and they're more so just relying on old ventures. And the boomers, they're fully in. You know, they bought a house for $70,000 that's worth $250,000, and they're just like, okay, I have $1 million now. That's nice. Must be nice. A house she made no updates on is now gone up 10, 20, or 300%. Can't do math this late at night. Anyway, that's my thoughts now. And money buying happiness, you know, money can't buy happiness. There's plenty of people out there who have tons of money, who are billionaires, who are miserable people. But money is nice, and money can help with problems. And problems can make you unhappy. So does money buy happiness? No, money can't buy happiness. But if you have a strong foundation, a faith, a family, principles, you know, you have moral values, you understand how to treat people well, and you're a generally happy person, you're a grateful person, then yeah, having more money is going to help you be happier. Of course it is. Because it's going to help with other problems that would come up. Not having enough money to buy a car, or your air conditioning unit goes out. And if you don't have enough money to pay for that, it's going to make you unhappy. So, of course, having money is going to help with the happiness factor in some capacity. But it's not going to buy it. There's no method for that where you can just solve all your problems with money. That doesn't exist. I don't believe in that. But that's the show, guys. That's everything I wanted to talk about. So hope you enjoyed today's show. If you like this, then you should subscribe to the podcast on whatever app you're listening on. Subscribe. Hit the button. If it's Apple Podcast, it's that little plus sign, I think, up in the corner. They make it so hard to... They change. I think they call it following now. Subscribing, following, whatever. Just get the episodes delivered to your phone every single time we publish one, which is Every Monday, you get an episode of Finding Freedom. Every Wednesday, you get an episode of Mean Age Daydream with Brian McWilliams. And every Friday, you get an episode of Meme Wars, except for last Friday because we were off for the holiday. But you get an episode of Meme Wars, which Meme Wars is me and Brian and sometimes Rico and sometimes a special guest, where we talk about some current events, talk about some memes that are circulating on the interwebs, and a little comedy, a little culture, and we scoot you out on your way into the weekend with a smile on your face and some memes to share with your friends and family, and hopefully a show to share with friends and family as well. If you like this show, share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish. Share the show with a friend, especially this show. Especially this show on government-contaminated food. Share this show. Help a friend who might be struggling with one of these issues. If you're not doing that, you're being irresponsible. So after you subscribed and shared the show, come join our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Lions of Liberty or lionsofliberty.locals.com, and you can join our community. We'll give you a big hug when you come on into the community. Not a real hug, but a virtual hug. And you can get some merchandise depending on the level you join at. You can get access where we have our monthly calls. You can even produce a show at a certain level. So come check those levels out and sign up to become a Patreon here at Lions of Liberty. And we appreciate your support. Grateful for your support. Thankful for your support. I mean, I can't believe how long I've had this podcast for. It is ridiculous that so many people will listen to me rant and talk into a microphone and actually enjoy it. And I love getting feedback from you guys on these shows. So if you like this show, you can send me an email too at john@lionsofliberty.com. You can give me ideas for other shows, guests, et cetera, et cetera. Love hearing from you guys. So I think I've rambled enough for today. Hopefully you all enjoyed today's show, and I'll see you next week, most likely with a very interesting guest. But in the meantime, always remember to keep your head up and the fires of liberty burning.